wonderful. All the life of Hafiz and
yeah.
these beautiful ghazals all sprinkled throughout.
Occasionally we have such an atmosphere created. In his love, in his remembrance, glorifying him, exalting him. But then, what he wants is not like just this sort of thing. See, the breeze is blowing now, but it should be all the time. And that's known as the environment should be such where there is a continuous atmosphere of his being. And such environment is always helpful, where you feel the breeze of his beauty, of his humor, of his mischief. There is a puzzle, you know, after you left, there's something that always puzzles me. Will you be able to solve it? You know, I've been trying to get it out. I don't know, I can't, I don't know what it is. It is said that he is all-pervading, isn't it? And he is here, there and everywhere. And why is it that we can't see him? Well, it's but natural, can't see him, but those who wish to see, those who long to see him, why is it that we cannot see him if he is all-pervading? Is he all-pervading or is he at some place stationed himself somewhere? What stops us from seeing him if he is all-pervading?
Well, I know the answer.
What is that? What is the answer?
Ourselves.
Oh, but I want to see him. So why? So that means I shouldn't want to see him, that means.
But you do see him. You just have a misconception of what he is.
Hmm?
You said you do see him, but you have a misconception of what he is.
Yeah, that's true. That is also another thing to it. No, but I want to see him of the type of conception I have. If he's everything. Yeah. If he's everything you say, then I must see him the way that I can see you. And why is it that I can't see
you?
Huh?
More power to you.
Why not?
Well, I don't know. The answer eludes me every now and then. I feel I come to the answer. Again, it eludes me. I have come to the answer. One of the answers is that, well, he doesn't want to annoy us by his constant presence.
That's a new one. I haven't heard that one before.
What?
Oh.
He's so compassionate.
That he doesn't hold water by some of the stories you've told, Erich.
But suppose if you are the grandma, if you are here and you want to do something and you want that, and all the time somebody is there by your side or in front of you, he says, get out from my sight, you see. Wouldn't you want to say that?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, you
but
don't
you
want...
Tell me that you tried and he wouldn't even leave you alone then, so...
What I'm saying is that most probably it is because of that he doesn't want to be visible to us. Because he is all-pervading. He must either be all-pervading or not at all for us. If he's all-pervading, then wherever you turn your face, you are in toilet or you are in taking bath and all that, you'll feel so embarrassed all the time being confronted by him. So he is all-pervading or not at all. That's why it seems to me, that's how I felt. That's why we, in spite of our wanting, we said, oh, this is the right thing. Otherwise, there'll be annoyance on both sides. I wouldn't want him to be all the time by my side or confronting me all the time. And he wouldn't want me that when he confronts me that I should neglect him and be indifferent. So on both sides.
But then, how can we not be indifferent? Because a lot of the times you just forget. Either he slips away or you slip away.
No, but more so when he confronts us, then we are indifferent to him, then he wouldn't like it all the more. Because of our annoyance. Every time having him. We would like to be to our own self sometimes. Very often, of course. Occasionally we would like to be with him.
And how can you make that occasionally be more...
Frequent.
More frequent.
That's what I'm saying. Each answer that I come across, there is another thing that confronts me. I'm not getting a proper answer. Can you help me out?
There is something that confuses me. Is how is it that everything is illusion, correct? Everything is illusion, and we all have are in a dream and have this idea that things are a certain way. And my misconception, my illusion, is different from Dara's or yours or somebody else's. We all perceive things differently, but on some level, there's a collective level of illusion. We all agree that we're in a room, and we all agree that a chair is a certain thing you sit on, all that. How is it that part, and also something happens independent, like if something breaks, or, I mean, we all see that, and we all agree that, yes, this was a thing that was here, but now it breaks. How do we have a collective level of illusion? Is that, I hate to bring things to such a level, but that's something that always puzzles me.
Because it is illusion.
Well, on some levels we have because individual illusions, and on some levels we have collective illusions.
Collective illusion is there because of the tutoring ourselves, tutoring our minds in the same fashion as Tom, Dick and Harry have been tutored. Just like that. A villager and ourselves, you see, will not have the same type of illusion while we are in the room. Suppose a stranger comes. We are in a room here with an illusion that this is Baba's place and this is all this, and we say that, well, it is similar. But some stranger comes in, and a rustic comes inside and does not know what to do. He's hesitant even to step over the carpet because his feet are dirty, you see. So he won't be able to like to come here or enter here. What is it all about and all that? Because I think our minds are channeled in the same channel as the rest of those who are around us. So that's how it is.
But still there's another level where the illusion is the same. So just that yellow wall is going to be a yellow wall to most people that walk in here.
Yeah, that's true. That is also there. Yeah. It will be there.
It goes from the most particular to the more general.
More general.
That's what philosophers like to talk about. General and particular things. Have you become a philosopher, Eric?
No. I didn't know the meaning of philosophy till such time Baba gave us the meaning.
What did Baba say?
So, yeah, Baba simply said one day to all the philosophers that were gathered there, they were talking about philosophy, and I didn't know. Of course, I was interpreting. But then he said, philosophy, according to my definition, simple thing made difficult, is philosophy.
I look at it somehow like we're all part of the same ocean. So obviously you've got to be the collective part to it. And yet we're all individual drops within that ocean. So there's where our individuality comes in.
Our individuality, our individual impressions are quite different from the rest of them. Therefore, experiences are different from one another and so forth.
I've never understood, I think this is the same question, why in the discourses Baba says, when one soul becomes God realized, the whole universe doesn't vanish. And I don't understand.
Doesn't vanish?
Yeah.
Why doesn't it? It doesn't vanish because you haven't realized it. The universe vanishes for the one who has realized. But the universe remains the same for me and for you.
What if there's really only one soul?
Yeah.
Then why wouldn't, if one realized it, then could they vanish?
Would you have
one on the other side?
I like that.
That's a great idea.
To understand that, just as he says, a concept is quite different, you see. The concept of what he means by it, that if one soul realizes, what is that, which soul that realizes it? It is that oversoul that realizes in you. The thing is that oversoul is sprinkled with so many blemishes, as Baba pointed out to us. In this very hall, he sat there and he said, here is this oversoul, take this whole wall, this There's infinite things, unlimited, without any bottom or surface or directions or anything. It's an infinite thing. It's the infinite oversoul. And that alone is, and nothing else exists. But in spite of it all, something else exists as non-existent. And means nothing is, it is the everything, this oversoul. And if it has to be everything, then it must include nothing too. You follow that? So that nothing, which also is included in it, is nothing but his own blemish on himself. So he says, take some dye and sprinkle it on it. See, all these little specks are there, you see. Exist. They do exist, but they're nothing in comparison to the everything that it is. Follow? So each speck is still more nothing than the whole panorama of specks, you see. It's like that. So what happens with each speck is gradually, in the course of time, which we call experiencing or spending the impression that there is a speck like that, you see. It is he who is experiencing that, that everything. So gradually it gets worn out. So when it gets worn out, and it's no more there, that particular speck. So what is left there? For that particular speck was not at all, it was just a speck, it was nothing. So when it realizes, what does it realize? That I am all the time I was what I am. Nothing changes, you see, for that individual. For that particular speck, you see. The only thing is that its falseness has disappeared, has vanished, has been erased. But what was it? It was there. It's like that. So when one soul realizes, the universe continues to be so. For us also to realize them, each one must have something to realize that this is false. Not only when you realize it, everything vanishes, Baba says, when you just have a glimpse of me, the whole thing vanishes. When you have a little glimmer of my reality for that particular moment or for some hours or for some days, the whole thing vanishes. Just a glimmer of reality. And when you have a glimpse of me, it means sight of me, then what happens? Nothing exists except me and you, but you are still there. The whole, all this panorama of world and existence, so-called existence, is no more there. And whatever is, we feel that is there, is nothing but him. That is the experience. But it is all said, unless and until you have the experience, what can you do? Nothing. Just speak, talk, hypothetically.